Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Nerd Stash Show. This is number 82 of this fine podcast. My name is Taylor Cole and I will be your host today. Joining me is once again Mr. Michael Mosley. Michael, how are you doing?
So far so good, other than my voice kind of going out. So we have to deal with that for this episode.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to call on you too often in this episode. I don't want to, you know, mess up your voice a little too much there. So hopefully you feel better. Best wishes to you. But Michael, we are not the only people here on this fine evening. I want to introduce our special guest this week, the NerdStash.com's own Matthew Cook. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm good. That's quite the introduction. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
How long have you been at NerdStash? You said a month?
I think it's almost exactly a month, like almost to the day.
And yeah, there's a reason we brought you on though, Matthew, because we'd love to have anybody from the writing staff join us, don't get me wrong, but our main topic today, we're going to be talking about a Marvel game from Square Enix, but it's not the Avengers. We're going to be talking about Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and you just so happened to review the game for the site.
Yeah, I spent pretty much all of last weekend playing the game. Like, I did pretty much nothing but play the game. It's great.
Alright, so our main topic this week, is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy a legit Game of the Year contender? Square Enix and Eidos Montreal's Guardians of the Galaxy was a shock reveal at E3 2021. However, it doesn't mean it was a fan favorite reveal. When Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy was first announced, it seemed like everybody was split on this game. Was it a nice, pleasant surprise for you, or did you groan at the first sight of another Marvel game that came from publisher Square Enix after Avengers? It's also important to note that Eidos of Montreal did not develop Marvel's Avengers. That was Crystal Dynamics. Despite the valid criticisms, Guardians of the Galaxy promised something different than Marvel's Avengers. It wasn't a looter shooter. It wasn't a co-op experience either. Instead, Guardians of the Galaxy would be a single-player linear title with Star-Lord as the main lead. The player would then control the Guardians as squad mates and be able to upgrade their abilities and some perks and skill trees as well. Regardless, the game's premise, E3 demo, and all the other trailers that came after didn't seem to convince everybody. The overall consensus was still filled with hesitation and cynicism. And again, even as somebody who was very hopeful about the game pre-release, most of these criticisms made a lot of sense. We've seen games like this all the time. A game reveal looks questionable and it gets criticized. There's a lot of doubt around it. By the time it releases, it's panned by critics and everybody else. Again, we've seen this cycle before, especially with AAA games. I'm sure you and I and Matthew, you two can probably name off a few games.
I think most recently, I think Back 4 Blood got a lot of hate before it came out. I guess it was probably the name's escaping. What was the game that they made before Back 4 Blood?
There was Evolve, which was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah,
and Left 4 Dead, which is the thing everybody remembers.
Yeah, Evolve. I think, I mean, obviously, yes, like the next game from the creators of Left 4 Dead is a good selling point, but Evolve had that selling point.
It's not their most recent.
Yeah, like Evolve.
They really kept that one quiet.
I remember when Evolve was coming out, like that was the selling point for the game, was that this was the continuation or. And it's like Back 4 Blood, like they kind of had to redo it. Like they did the same thing. Like this is the continuation from the creators of Left 4 Dead. And I think before it came out, obviously people were very hesitant about it because of Evolve, which I didn't even remember the name of it. It's gone so quick. But I mean, I played it and I love it. Like I loved it so much. I played it on Game Pass and then I went out and bought it for my PS5 the next day because I prefer to play on PlayStation. But that is the continuation of Left 4 Dead. Whereas maybe what they did before with Evolve was not so much.
And it feels like that's kind of what people said after Back 4 Blood released. And we actually talked about Back 4 Blood on our last news episode. and saying, like, yeah, it feels like a lot of critics, and especially now that more reviews have released and more people are playing it, that it kind of is that, yeah, it's not as good as Left 4 Dead, but it's a lot of fun. It does feel like that continuation, and it's that pleasant surprise. So even though, yeah, we're going to be talking about Guardians here, and we're saying, like, yeah, the narrative around it changed, it's not the first game to do that. It's just one of those games that everybody said, oh my god, this is going to suck. Did you see Marvel's Avengers? This is going to be even worse. And the game releases and we just don't hear it. Like, the narrative has completely kind of shifted on it. And I find that pretty interesting. Because for the most part, Guardians of the Galaxy has had a warm reception. Surprisingly. Like, I really did not expect this. While it may or may not be a definitive metric for success, it's honestly hilarious to look at this game's relatively high score on Metacritic, regardless if you're looking at the critic score or the user score. That's not to say that the game is perfect by any means. Most of these reviews, whether it be positive or negative, point out that Guardians of the Galaxy's plethora of glitches and its divisive gameplay are its worst parts of the game. So, here's what we're going to talk about today. This is going to be our free-form discussion on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. We have three people here with entirely different perspectives. Matthew has played and reviewed the game for thenerdstash.com. I literally beat the game earlier this morning. I haven't had time to fully process it yet. And Michael has yet to play the game. Also, we won't be getting into any major spoilers about the game. At most, we may share an example of dialogue, how a gameplay mechanic works, how characters interact, stuff like that. Where do you guys want to start, by the way? Matthew, you kick us off. We can start with the pre-release talk, some review roundup, or just talking about the game itself.
Let's start with the pre-release, because one thing that I found kind of interesting with the pre-release talk was because I was playing the game pre-release in order to review it, and it was just so jarring to me to be playing the game, and like I couldn't talk about it at that point before like the review went up, but like to see people online like commenting on like they released like the first 14 minutes of gameplay, and people are saying like it looks like a mobile game, and it looks like a bad version of the Avengers, even with that being bad. And yeah, there's just such a, it seems like a disconnect. I don't know if people were just like that scarred from the Avengers. I mean, as we mentioned before.
See, here's the thing with the internet, especially social media. There's this thing between valid criticisms, there's a thing between people just not liking it, and then there's trolls. And I feel like in these comment sections of like IGN and in YouTube comment sections and all these major publishers and all that stuff, you get a shit ton of trolls.
Yeah.
Where they flock.
I think this was the game that was, like, the game to hate for people like that. I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't really look too much at the pre-release stuff. I watched the trailer at E3, and to be honest, I kind of thought it looked bad. Like, I came in with the reaction that I'd had from Avengers, and with it being announced and getting released like 6 months later, and it had from the outside like kind of the same issues that we saw with Avengers, where like the characters looked generic, and when you play the game they're not generic at all, but like I think deservedly so, people had very low expectations because of the Avengers.
I think that's fair to say. And Michael, I don't know if you remember what we said when it got announced. Like, the other thing, too, is this game got announced a few months ago, like at E3 2021. Like, nobody saw this coming. And I think I remember being pretty positive about it. Michael, do you remember what you were thinking pre-release?
I think I was like in the middle. I was still pretty iffy about
it. I think you were, too.
Yeah.
I think you were more in the middle, and I was like, yeah, Marvel's Avengers wasn't all that great, but this looks pretty different than that, and yeah. I didn't really understand. Like, I understood a lot of the criticisms, but not all of them. I think you were somewhere in the middle, like, yeah, it's going to take a lot.
Yeah.
Because Marvel's Avengers, I think that's what you said.
Yeah, Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix, they had a lot to prove after they fumbled big time with Avengers.
Well, it's not even Crystal Dynamics had a lot to prove. Like, Square Enix did, well, and Crystal Dynamics. It was like Eidos Montreal had to fix the problems another studio made.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like, they had a lot of work to do. Well, I'm saying that Crystal Dynamics had a lot to do when it came to Avengers. Like, they were still trying to push out new stuff. Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah. So, like, we were still in the midst of that. So, everybody was still on the fence because it was like, yeah, we remember when EA had the exclusive rights to Star Wars. And they fumbled that pretty hard until Fall of the Jedi's or something like that. And
Jedi Fallen Order Respawn.
Yeah, Jedi
Fallen Order. It's Respawn. Order. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that took a while, man. That took some years before EA learned this lesson and decided that, yeah, we should probably do better.
Well, you had DICE with the first Battlefront. They didn't have much content behind it. People didn't really care for it. Then we had Battlefront 2, and oh my god, the scandal with that.
Yeah.
That was
loot boxes were crazy.
That was a time. And of course, to be fair, it would get resolved, and Battlefront 2, as it stands right now, is an amazing game, in my opinion. But you make a very good point in comparing it to that Star Wars game, or the Star Wars games, because it's a studio like Respawn who has to deal with a crappy reputation.
Yep.
And having to make something great out of it. And I feel like that is kind of what Eidos Montreal did with this game. Is they took a lot of the stuff people were like, well, it's not the MCU characters, but it kind of looks like they're going for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eidos Montreal was going for that in terms of tone. And they just made the characters so unique and fresh. And I kind of want to get into the game itself, but just the pre-release talk, I'm kind of with Matthew. Like, I was surprised at how much hate this game was getting. Like, I understood the criticism. It seemed so extreme. Like, oh, this game is a flop at release, guaranteed.
Well, I mean, it's just, one, when they showed it off, it definitely looked like they were still working on it because there were frame rate issues, especially when Drax threw Rocket across the platform. You could see him kind of moving, like, 10 frames per second in the background. So it's like, wow, that's kind of wonky. The whole idea that they only showed the player taking over Star-Lord, that kind of threw people for a loop. And again, with Avengers, you know, we weren't sure what Square was going to do with this, if they're going to make another microtransaction-filled superhero game. And I think that was the biggest concern people had, because Guardians have been around for a while. So there are plenty of costumes other than the MCU that you can draw from. And hey, if there's anything big company like Square and EA likes to do, it likes to sell you that nostalgia by letting you buy the old school skins. Not even earn it, just buy it straight out. And I think a lot of people are concerned about that. And then of course, it was just the way Peter Quill looked. Like, it took me a while to get used to it, but even I was like, yeah, that Peter Quill looks kind of strange. And it's because of that hairdo they gave him. I don't know what that was about, but I always found that...
He looks like a hipster, which is weird because he's supposed to be from the 1980s.
Yeah.
He was taken in the 1980s, so he's like this kid like who loves metal and rock, and then when you see him, he looks like a 2020 hipster, and it's like, that's a weird... Okay.
I would almost accept that if he had a mullet instead. Mullets were still a thing in the 80s and 90s. I know. I should know. I was there, okay? I was born in 88. I know about the 90s. There were still mullets out there. But yeah, I was in the middle. I was real iffy about it. I was definitely in that wait and see category. Even though the more they showed, the more I really liked it. Like, they got the music down. And I like the character designs. Again, it took me a minute to get used to Peter. But I enjoyed the character designs, and I'm glad they didn't go with the MCU styles. And I don't know why, but this version of Marvel characters looked a lot better than the Avengers for some reason. There were only two and a half characters that I actually thought looked pretty decent or looked pretty good in Avengers. And that was Hulk, Kamala, and a little bit of Tony. I was like, well... Okay, those look kind of cool. But for Guardians, everything just looks so cool and goofy and out there. So I was on the fence. But seeing all the stuff that people are saying now that it's actually a good game, it puts the rest of fear that I had that Square was just going to throw in microtransactions into the game and just goose-step the whole thing, that there was actual effort and passion put into the game.
Yeah, and I think that was just a lot of the concern, and that's the part of it like I 100% got, because you look at Avengers, especially now, and I don't mean... Like, this would be the second news episode in a row where I just shat all over the Avengers. I don't mean to do it, but it's part of the, like, reason, though, people are so concerned. It's because we see the state of that game now, and people are pissed off because there's pay-to-win mechanics, essentially, in that game right now. And it's because, you know, stuff like the loot just didn't work right, and it didn't look like... It looked like it had an identity crisis, you know?
Yeah.
And, I kind of want to get into the game itself, and I'm sorry, Michael, this is going to be kind of where I guess you just kind of react, because again, we have these three different perspectives.
Right, before you go into that, I actually tried playing Avengers recently, since it hit Game Pass, and oh my goodness, I cannot fathom how people who paid money for that game feels, because I played that thing on Game Pass, and I felt ripped off. I was like, wow.
Did you enjoy the campaign, or were you talking about just that? Because I thought the campaign for it was really good.
I tried the campaign, but it did so little for me, because I think it's because I'm still playing on the regular Xbox, the Xbox One, the One X, and the load times in that thing is so unbearably terrible that I actually gave up playing the rest of the game. So now I'm just going to wait until I can somehow get my hands on the Series X, because I've seen that the load times are way better on the Series X and PlayStation 5. So now I gotta wait until I get a next gen system to play a last gen game.
Matthew, you wanna go ahead and get into the game itself? You reviewed the game for the site, and I believe you gave it a 5 out of 5, correct?
Yeah, that's right. As we've said, like going in, I mean, close to the time, I was seeing more stuff about the game. I think it was starting to look a little bit better than the first release, but going in, I didn't have that high expectations. I mean, I love the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I was excited just to play that, even if it was terrible. Like, it's still Guardians of the Galaxy, so how bad can it be? But yeah, to be honest, it pretty much just blew me away. Like you mentioned, it's in the talk for like Game of the Year right now, and it's definitely my Game of the Year so far. I can't think of anything that's on the way that would really compete with it. It's a really excellent single player game.
You know, Matthew, I can't believe I'm saying this too, because I was the positive person when this game was announced. I was like, man, I get it. I'm kind of with you, but at the same time, I think it looks great. But even up to release, even I was like kind of what we were saying earlier, right? We've been through this cycle before. We know how this ends up, and I was just so ready for disappointment. I was ready for that. Oh, this thing is just a complete train wreck. It's horrible. You don't want to play it. And by the time I even got to like chapter 2 or chapter 3, I was like, this might be my game of the year. I haven't played many games. I really haven't. To be fair, I don't have a PS5. I have not been able to play Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart. I have not been able to play Returnal. And so, yes, take that for what you will. But this game is really damn good. And I am surprised at how good it was. Like, they took the tone of the movies, I think, and they put it into the game in a new way that I did not see coming. Like, they take the Guardians' goofiness and amp it up to an 11. And the character models, they look different than the MCU. And honestly, I think some of them look better. I really do. And I really enjoy Gamora in the MCU. I forgot the actress's name, who plays Gamora in the MCU. But I kind of like this version better. I kind of like the goofiness. There's something about it that's just really cool. And I think these characters are just so unique. From like chapter 1 on, I just realized, oh shit, these Guardians, they don't stop talking. Like, at all. Like, they have dialogue for days.
Yeah, one of the things that, I think it's in, like, the second chapter or something. Like, it's really, really early in the game. One of the things where it was like the switch where I was enjoying the game just fine, and then it was like, no, this is an excellent game, was when I was going off to go and collect one of the costumes that's in like a little like loot box type thing, and the other Guardian
stuff. It's not a loot box, just want to point that out. It looks like one. Yeah, you just go off to the side and you pick it up. It's, yes.
Yeah.
You just have to point, there's no, because people always hear that and go like, oh my gosh, just like, to put everybody's minds at ease, there's no microtransactions. Everything can be earned in game by just finding it as a collectible. All right, continue.
Yeah, it's just a regular collectible, like, costume box. Like, they're all just these little, like, purple boxes. And, yeah, when I went off, just kind of off the beaten path to go get it, like, the rest of the Guardians started berating me. Like, why are you going over there? Like, that's the wrong way. Like, and stuff like that. And the conversations that they have with each other, and just the characterization that you get, not even from like the cutscenes, but just from walking around, and even just from doing like random things. Like, if, like, since I was playing it for review, there'd be times where I just put down the control and like take some notes or something, and they just start going off on some random conversation. And that's what really sets the game apart, I think. It's the characterization of all of these characters that we already know and are familiar with in the MCU. And before playing the game, I didn't think at all that it would compare to the MCU, purely based off Avengers and how they are just like the most generic versions, in my opinion. But to be honest, I think I prefer pretty much all of these characters to the MCU equivalents. I don't know if that's just because a game's much longer than the movies are, but they really, really nailed it.
I kind of agree. And look, this is coming from somebody, and this isn't to say like the MCU versions are bad or they're like, oh, they're just not as good. These are two fantastic things, in my opinion, these two adaptations. And to put this in perspective for where I'm coming from, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is probably in my top 3 favorite movies of all time. I love that movie. It is so damn good. I really enjoyed the story of this game. I think it might be better than both stories of the Guardians have put out so far in movies. I was about to say just Guardians 1, but I was like, I love that movie, but its story is very just, hey, here's this origin of this team. There you go. But yeah, I think this game is just, it's a lot about the characters, right? They don't stop arguing. And I know that sounds like it could be annoying. It's not, just because the jokes land and the writing is so good and the character performances. Like, I have a few of the voice actors here. John McLaren, who plays Star-Lord. Kimberly Sue Murray, who plays Gamora. Alex Weiner, who plays Rocket. Jason Cavalier, who plays Drax. Robert Malcolm, who plays Groot. Like, they nailed it. I just really think they nailed this game when it comes to the performances and the characters. Because if they don't nail the dialogue, this game is a 2 out of 10.
Okay, so how does it feel to actually play as Star-Lord? Because I've only seen gameplay clips of it. And some of the animation looks a little wonky. Reminds me of those old 360 PS3 era games where they try to do a dual wielding with two different aiming reticles, and the character's arms go flapping all around. So does playing as Peter actually feel like you're like actually achieving something, like you're actually contributing, or can you just get by the game by just giving out orders and just running around with Peter?
I don't feel like, I know what you're talking about, but I don't feel like it's like those kind of games. It's simplistic to me, the way the gameplay is, and it's for better or worse. I think the controls are complicated. That's the worst part to me, because you're having to go through all these buttons to get to your teammates' abilities and then your own abilities, and it's just like, oh, so much is going on, and you're having to dodge bullets, do your own thing, and hit your own combos. But I think there's a little bit of method to the madness, if that makes any sense. Like, there's a little bit of like, oh, this is really fun to do this combo with Rocket's ability and then Groot's ability. And then I know I can do my ability and just knock out this entire wave of enemies. So it's fun at times. At times it gets a little tedious. It really just depends on the situation. I found, I don't know what Matthew thinks here, but I found the best parts of this game to be when I'm not in combat. And that sounds dumb. I understand that. But it's kind of like Uncharted, to where you, it just feels like it's this cinematic deal. And that's what this game feels like to me. It feels like it's this Uncharted meets superhero game. Like a Spider-Man or an Arkham. And like, there's no feeling in it to where it's like, oh, I'm playing a game from the publisher of Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah, I think with the gameplay, it's definitely something that you have to get used to. I mean, I personally haven't really played anything that uses like a combat system like this. And so I'd say for the first 3 or 4 chapters or so, like I was very basic. Like I was shooting with Star-Lord and like using like the one Groot ability that I knew and like the one Rocket ability that I knew. But then by the end of the game, I was comboing everything. Like each character has 4 different abilities, I think, like including Star-Lord. So like, yeah, that's a lot to keep track of. But yeah, I feel like it's a satisfying learning curve where, yes, in the beginning, because it's a little bit different, it can be complicated and you might just stick with the basics. But I think when you kind of get your head around like, okay, this character has this ability and this character has this ability and these ones work together, it can be really satisfying once you do. It's kind of like a fighting game in that way, where like, and it even has like the kind of combo counter on the side of the screen saying like Marvelous and stuff like that, where when you do start to combo those abilities with the entire team, it's really satisfying. And definitely after the first few chapters, I never felt like I was just controlling Star-Lord. And that was one of the concerns that I had when I first heard about the game, was like, oh, like you're just Star-Lord? Like, that sounds really boring. Like, why wouldn't you play as everyone?
You immediately think when this game gets announced and it's like, oh, you're the Guardians of the Galaxy, I want to play as this raccoon. I want to play as this big tree. And then the game, it tells you in that demo, in like the game period, it's like, no, you are Star-Lord. You are not going to, you're going to be able to control them, don't get me wrong, but you can't play as them. And that could go so wrong, I feel like. And I agree with you. I don't think it ever feels like you're missing out. It feels like you are commanding this team of morons.
Exactly.
And yeah, I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It you aren't controlling the whole team because you are like the leader of the team. And like that's the thing that they really nailed, was just the feeling that you are playing as the whole team, but most importantly, you are the leader of the team, rather than just in other games like this, where maybe you just be switching between characters depending on what ability you need or something like that. It's a different system, but it really, really works for this game.
And also to add on to your question, Michael, I actually had this written down. I wanted to write down a few notes for this. And I put, I don't think this game would have worked if it was just like a Star-Lord game. Every member of the team has their own motives, their own troubled past, and all that's explored here. It's in the game. And every member of the team, they feel like a main character. That's kind of what I think Matthew was trying to get to, is like, it doesn't feel like you're just, oh, these are the side characters that you just so happen to control. Like, each one gets the spotlight, and it feels like, at some point, that they're the main character. If that makes sense. Even though you never actually play as them. And I think that's very genius. It really is. In terms of the way that they wrote this story and the way it's performed.
Alright, it's good to know. I think that's mostly what I was concerned about, was would it get boring playing as only Peter Quill? And if I would actually be contributing anything? Because, again, the clips that I saw just had Peter shooting his guns and that was about it. Or he was making commands, but like, he wasn't really doing a whole lot, except for like something that I found pretty cool was there's a team boost where you kind of like huddle up like a football team and like get a buff.
Yeah. So I think it builds up. It's kind of like an ultimate ability, right, Matthew? That's what I always felt like to me, was like whenever you have this bar filled up, you can call it in and it revives any down teammates. I kind of used it as that, like, okay, we're losing this fight, or I definitely need everybody to have their abilities back, or I know there's a boss battle. And you'd have this, like, conversation between the Guardians. And to me, it was a little cheesy, and it was, like, a little too much, but I think it was supposed to be. And you're supposed to say the right thing, and your whole team will get this boost. If you say the wrong thing, you will be the only one to get the boost. Like, no matter what, by the way, a song plays.
Alright, so it doesn't punish you for not knowing what to say.
It sort of does. Also, I think it's a good mechanic. It's just, it feels like it could be done better if they make a sequel. Like, it's one of those things that's like, I appreciate the effort. It's just, it doesn't feel like it's where it could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I touched on that a little in the review where it, like, for me at least, I never really felt like I needed the boost from the huddle, but I would use the huddle anytime it would happen just because it starts playing the music and it makes the game feel really, really cool. But it's,
yeah, it really does. Like, it gives you that Guardians of the Galaxy feel.
Yeah, no, it feels like you're in the movie. But, like, the problem that I had was that every time I would start the huddle, because, like, it would build up, naturally it would build up towards the end of a fight, it feels like I would start the huddle, and then it would be, like, this awesome moment, and then, like, Gamora would go over and kill the last guy, and it was done. So, like, you'd get, like, 5 seconds of the song or something like that, and it was, it fell flat because you didn't quite have the effect that I think that they were going for. And maybe if before, like, some of the bigger battles, if, like, the huddle was, like, automatic or something before the battle and it started, like, the music and started that whole effect, then I feel like that would have made the game even better.
Okay, so, like, you can't save it? You can't just, like, pocket for, like, when you go up against
the, yeah, place? You can save it. Okay. It's, like, I used it a little differently. Like I mentioned, I kind of saved mine for when I started to die because I used all my perks on other things other than health and shield, which is not what I normally do, and I really suffered for it. But I agree with Matthew. I think it kind of suffers a little bit in execution. It's a great mechanic. It's a great idea. It stumbles a little bit and making it feel overly special, because I agree. I think there's times I did use it where it's like, okay, we're going. I got this awesome song playing. It's like, all right, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy here. You kill 3 enemies and it's over. And then you go into the cutscene and it's like, well, all right. That was the thing that happened.
I wonder why games keep doing that. Like, I know they don't want to make the games easy for people. Like, just pocket this and use it whenever. But it seems like a lot of games, like, for some reason, when developers want to put in ultimates and special team builds, they always program it to where it only works close to the end of a battle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and, like, as Taylor mentioned, like, you can save it for the next battle. I mean, for me, though, I didn't even realize that you could save it until I was, like, 3/4 of the way through the game.
That's the other thing, though, is, like, you can save it, but at some point, it just feels like you're just keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always feel, to me, it felt like I always mistimed it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily even the game's fault. It's just like, all right, so I mistimed it. And then it takes a while for you to get it back. And then once you get it back, it's like, all right, well, I want to save it for this special moment. But you never know when it is because you're playing through the game for the first time here. I don't know when I'm going to come upon the big boss here and have issues and almost die. So it felt like I saved mine more than I could have. And I think if they got a sequel, they'd be able to really hammer out the kinks in this mechanic and be like, okay, we made it a lot better this time around. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, for me, I think regardless of whether, like, the ultimate ability, like, people should use it or whether people need to use it, I think in a potential sequel, they just need to separate it from the music. Like, I think you shouldn't have to feel like you need to use this ability in order to get, like, the cool moments that the game offers. Like, the game has, I want to say, it's like 30 or so licensed songs. I feel like they could have been spread out throughout the game in a way where they aren't repetitive and you have moments like that that are just, everybody has that moment. instead of just, oh, I happened to call the huddle at the right time, and so I had a really awesome moment. And that was the biggest letdown for me. Like, they had all that music, but they didn't utilize it enough.
I'm with you on that, Matthew, because they do show, or they do have music in some scenes, because it's Guardians thing here. Like, it feels like it's now a staple of what these characters are, especially after James Gunn did what he did with the movies. But it feels like it's not as much as it could have been. And there's a fantastic score here, don't get me wrong. It's just, with all the songs here, I really thought I'd hear more throughout the game. And some moments that I was like, alright, here we go. Here's going to be one of these moments where you hear this awesome licensed song in the background, and it's the score instead, which is great, but it's not what I was kind of expecting or wanting.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like, I mean, I finished the game, and I haven't looked at the list, but I'm pretty sure I didn't hear every song, and that's certainly not what I was expecting going in.
That's disappointing to hear. So, I mean, I know that you gave it a 5 out of 5, but is it wrong for me to want to wait for it to come, hopefully come the Game Pass, or should I just wait for a sale?
For me, I think it's one of those games, like, in my review as well, like, I compared it slightly to Spider-Man, not like directly to the game, but in that this game kind of proved that Insomniac isn't the only developer that can make decent Marvel games. And I'd say if you like single player games like Spider-Man, or even other types of single player games like God of War, and like those experiences where you know they're going to be over in like 15-20 hours, but like it's the experience that matters, then it's absolutely worth getting right now. But the value-conscious side of me would say that, I mean, if you have other things to play right now, then sure, like, wait until Black Friday or just after Christmas when I'm sure it's going to be discounted. But it's definitely worth getting right away.
See, I feel like we're in this era of gaming, right? To where, when it comes to games like these linear stories, and there's always, like, exceptions, and most of them are with Sony, whether it be Uncharted or Last of Us or Spider-Man. And people will be like, yes, you gotta get this. You gotta get it day one. But it feels like there is that thing with other games, like Jedi Fallen Order, for example, that a lot of people love, but I was like, yeah, but it's a single-player game. Should I get it day one? Should I wait for that sale? It's interesting to hear, because it still feels like these kind of games are the best kind of games. Like, every time we talk about disappointment, it's usually with these multiplayer games, with the looter shooter games, with these games as a service. So, to me, I think it is worth a day one purchase. I think you get enough out of it. I think if it was about 5 hours, if it had about 5 less hours in length, then I would say no. But the fact that it feels like a satisfying story, that you get so much out of these characters, and honestly, I kind of want to replay through the game again with New Game Plus and
see,
get up the rest of the series.
Yeah, I actually like hearing when people say, like, no matter the length of the games, like, it makes me want to play again. Like, those are the kind of things I enjoy hearing, because then it tells me that there's actual, like, substance to the gameplay. It's not just, hey, you played through it once, you hear the funny lines, and you're done. A lot of games are like that, unfortunately, but there are a few games that I would play over and over again.
Yeah, and I think, Matthew, you kind of compared it a little bit. You said it proves that Insomniac aren't the only developers who can make a great superhero game, or a great Marvel game. And yeah, I think this game proves that entirely, because I think it proves, like, hey, yeah, we can do something, like, it's not the same as Spider-Man, but I got very similar, like, I had the same feelings I had while playing Spider-Man. Like, oh man, that is a gut-wrenching scene. Or, oh my god, that was freaking hilarious. And I got those same feelings, not from Insomniac Games, from Eidos Montreal. And I did not expect that at all. I think it's just, as long as you are satisfied with what the story is and the gameplay itself, because I don't think the gameplay is necessarily amazing. It's really good, and that's why I go, like, it's probably my game of the year. But it's those moments where I'm making that decision. Like, what to say, the decision to make. It'll come up and kind of in the corner, kind of like a Fallout, like Rocket didn't like that. And it's making those choices and going like, oh, okay, what if I did the other one?
So yeah. Making those decisions actually affect the story or the gameplay or the characters in general?
So I had to go back, since I was reviewing it, I had to go back and play a couple of chapters again. And so I think they even said this before the game came out, that like none of the actual choices will change the direction of the story. Like there's no like multiple endings or anything like that. But, for example, this, I don't think this is a spoiler because they showed it in the trailers, but when Drax throws Rocket across like a canyon, like that's a choice in the game. Like you can choose to throw Rocket or you can choose not to throw Rocket. And when you throw him, like I threw him in my first playthrough, and it kept coming up throughout the game. Like the guardians would make jokes about the fact that you threw him, or there's another part later in the game where he's like, fine, just throw me again, it's fine, but like they do some other thing. And so it's not like a Fallout game or like some RPG where like there's a ton of different endings and different paths, but it's more like the way you experience the story changes depending on what you say. So when I did go back and I had to play some chapters again, I intentionally chose the opposite choices just to see what would happen. And it, for me, that was one of the things that said, like, yeah, I would want to play this again, because it is so that, like we talked about before, like the characters and the writing and everything is so good. Like I want to experience what those other choices would be. And I think you can't say that about a lot of games, especially when they don't have like multiple endings.
I think it's a testament to the great writing too, because what you describe is kind of like that's very disappointing that you make choices that don't matter in the end, but they kind of do, in the sense that, just like you said, like they matter to the characters, and that makes the game so much more enjoyable by the choices you make. Like, there's throughout the game, it's the Guardians, right? So they're arguing. So there's points in it where it's like you're trying to keep the peace and you're trying to not piss off members of the team. So it feels like sometimes I would do things to help the other team member, and I wonder what would happen if I would, you know, throw Rocket. Like, would he be pissed at me for like the rest of the game? I didn't throw Rocket. See, that's a different choice. I had to go find another way. And it made that mission a little bit harder, though, because we had to go around and find that a secret passageway to go through and get people across. But those are the kind of things, like, yeah, it doesn't affect the ending, necessarily. They didn't want you to do that. They wanted it to be a linear title, because this isn't a game that I think sequel baits much at all. I think they want a sequel, in my opinion, from what I played. But it never felt like it was like, okay, but the real thing is in part two. It feels like this is a complete story, what they told here. And I think they wanted to tell that kind of story. So they could have easily just been like, yeah, no, the choices matter, whatever. But it feels like what you say, it matters to the characters, because it then goes into the dialogue. And like Matthew said, it just permeates throughout the entire game. Like, you can do something in chapter two, some minor choice and dialogue, because you can bring up stuff, like you can chime in on a conversation, you can stay silent, and that stuff can get brought back up in chapter like 10, like way later in the game.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Although with choices you expect it to change like the outcome, it's more like it changes the journey of the game. Like you're going to the same place, but the way that you get there, at least in terms of like how the characters are acting and how the characters feel is what's different.
This sounds very cliche. I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt you. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. That's kind of what it felt was the tagline for this game.
I think that's exactly what it is, and it does it really, really well, because because I threw Rocket, I got all those reactions, and when it came up much later and he was like, fine, just throw me again at some point, I was like, well, like, what would he have said if I hadn't thrown him the first time? Like, would he have offered, or would it have been something completely different? Would it have been like the original argument? And so it really does make me want to see, or to play the game again, to see the story, not necessarily for like the major plot points, but for the little differences in the way that the characters are, because I think each decision really does change the characters.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm mostly going to try it out around like a Black Friday sale kind of deal, because I am still playing through some other stuff. But I'm definitely interested in this version of Guardians, especially after what you guys have been saying. The point that the story, the music, and the characters all work together. It's definitely something I'm interested in.
All right. Matt, you got anything else to add about this? I know you have a review, and I'm going to link that review as well. Everybody should check it out. It is fantastic. But do you have anything else to add before we move on?
I just say pretty much what I said at the end of the review. Like, if you like Marvel, like, at all, like, if you're a fan of, like, the movies or anything like that, this game is a game that you're going to love. I think it's just that good. And the fact that we can even talk about it in the same breath as like the MCU or something like that, where, especially compared to Avengers, the game, where it's just, everything's just generic, like knockoff, and just nowhere near that kind of level, the fact that we can talk about it and put it up against those movies speaks to how good of a game it is.
Hell, Matthew, I can take you not to even the MCU, I can go to video games. Like, look at Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, that came out in 2018. Like, the reason Spider-Man did not win Game of the Year, there are two reasons why. God of War and Red Dead Redemption 2. Those are the only two reasons why Spider-Man did not win Game of the Year. So, if I'm, like, here saying, like, hey, in my opinion, I think this is up there with Marvel Spider-Man, it's pretty, to me, high praise. Like, and everybody, it's all subjective. Like, somebody probably has a lot of different opinions, probably thinks the game sucked. That's what I think. I think it is up there with Marvel Spider-Man in terms of quality.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason why I compared it to that, like, saying that, like, it's not, Insomniac is not the only developer that can make a decent Marvel game now, is because the 2018 Spider-Man game is, to me, like, the pinnacle of superhero games. I mean, like, going back,
it starts with the Arkham games, and then you would get that, like, okay, this feels like it's the what the Arkham games tried to do, and Insomniac took that, and I don't want to say tried, because it feels like they failed. They really succeeded. Like, Arkham is the reason there are good superhero games. Like, what that trilogy is masterpiece level shit. But when it comes to Insomniac, it feels like they took that and kind of paid homage to it in a way. Like, hey, those guys over there, those guys and girls, they did fantastic work. And we want to do that too on Insomniac with Marvel Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, I loved Arkham Asylum and the other Arkham games. And Spider-Man feels like what those games would be with, like, 10 years of improvements. And yeah. The whole, like, fighting system and everything, like, you can tell, like, it all directly goes back to Arkham Asylum. But, yeah, and Guardians, for me, is, although it's a completely different type of game, I only played Spider-Man this past summer. Like, I played it from start to finish just, like, 3 or 4 months ago, so it's still quite fresh. And Guardians had that exact kind of feeling, like you mentioned, with, like, when you're invested in the story and you just have that kind of experience with the game that you probably don't expect from, I mean, people normally say, like, putting down, like, superhero movies and that kind of thing, but you wouldn't necessarily expect it after having games like Avengers and things like that. But it really is like right kind up of, there with Spider-Man.
To put it in comparison with one last time, and I promise you this isn't a complete demolishing of Marvel's Avengers, because I really enjoyed their story that they told, especially with Kamala Khan. I thought Kamala Khan was awesome in that game. But there was something about Marvel's Avengers, and I think, honestly, it's due to its identity crisis. Like, it didn't know what it really wanted to be. And the fact that it wasn't a long story. That there was something about it that felt like it was an Elseworlds kind of deal. Like, they didn't feel like the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in it that was like, oh my, like, there's moments in Spider-Man that's just like, this is a great video game I'm watching. This cutscene is great. It looks great. The visuals in this game are fantastic. And Guardians has the same thing. There are moments in Guardians' story where I was like, I can't believe they pulled this off. I thought this game was going to really suck. I don't know if that's why I'm so high on it. I'm like, man, this is probably my game of the year. It's because I came into it going, eh, it'll probably be a fun time. And just walked away like, yeah, I did not expect any of that to happen. But I guess it is what it is. And I feel like Marvel's Avengers, just, it didn't really have those moments. It was really good. It just lacked that heart, I want to say. Anybody want to add anything else before we move on?
No, that's it for me.
Yeah, me too. I'm good.
All right, let's close up shop. Let's talk about what are we working on and where can people find you. Michael, what are you working on and where can people find you?
I am actually working on nothing at the moment. Just getting rid of this cracked voice of mine. But you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. And if you find a weirdo in a fox hoodie, congratulations, you are in the right place.
Matthew, where can people find you and what are you working on?
At the moment, I'm working on some guides for Guardians of the Galaxy. Since I reviewed it, I've been doing a few guides for the Nerd Stash. And people can find me on Twitter as well at 360cookie.
You can find me on this podcast here, the Nerd Stash Show. You can also find me over on our movie and TV podcast called Nerds Talk Movies. On the most recent episode, we had a retrospective on Daredevil Season 1. It was fantastic. It was such a great season. And we can't wait to get into the rest of the series. Not sure when that'll be. It feels like the next episode of Nerds Talk Movies coming out is a little up in the air in terms of topic-wise. So it might be Daredevil Season 2 retrospective. It might be another news episode. Just have to play it by ear whenever we figure that out. I'm sure it'll probably be a great episode. Most likely. Yeah, we'll see. But if you like this podcast, you can check us out on Twitter and Discord. Links to both of those are in the description of this episode. We're available on pretty much every podcasting platform underneath the sun. And finally, if you want even more content from the Nerd Stash, why don't you check out our website, thenerdstash.com. where you can find all sorts of news and gaming, movie, TV, all those industries, and so much more. Matthew writes over there, does such a great job. I do as well. We have so many awesome people other than us making content there, from news articles to guides to opinion pieces. There's some hot takes thrown around sometimes, in my opinion, but they're all entertaining, in my opinion, too. So be sure to check out thenerdstash.com if you got the interest and time. Michael and I will be back next week. Riley has the week off. I want to thank Michael for joining me. And Matthew, I want to thank you for joining the show on short notice. I want to thank everybody for listening in. And we will see you next week.